Today, my goal is to help you to understand and to become more, have expectations for answers for prayer for healing. Sometimes we think that's somebody else's job, and maybe sometimes we don't have enough, big enough expectations to think that God would respond. And I want you to know that according to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Jesus had called the 12 together and gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure their diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It is God's word that assures us that we are sent like he sent the disciples. It was his plan that all the world that was within all their needs would have somebody like you to be a blessing to them. So, first of all, the authority for us in expecting healing or healing in answers to prayer is Jesus' word. And that isn't the only place he said it. He said, as in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Wow. I would like to see that over a picture of Jesus as you go out the door every Sunday. That you know that you are entering the mission field and you hear those words of Jesus, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. We are empowered too by the Gospel of John. In chapter 20, 30, verses 30 and 31, it says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. And life is much fuller in God's perspective for us than our expectations are. So, just that you know that we are called into this ministry of extending our the healing that the Lord wants to bring to this hurting world that has been affected by sin. One third of Jesus' ministry is dealing with healing. And sometimes there is so little that is done in our churches with healing. I would like to see this church, the Baptist Church up the, and the New Life Lutheran Church, all be known as churches where healings take place because of the praying people. That was exciting for that little town in Hingham, Montana, where I served when I came back from Hong Kong, that people would call long distance to ask me or the congregation to pray for them. They knew that there were answers to prayer. So there are various kinds of healing. We think about spiritual healing. Well, I'll just mention all of them and then we go through them one by one. I'll just say there's spiritual healing, there's physical healing, there's healing of memories, there's healing of relationships, and there's healing from demon possession. And I've seen God work in every single one of these. So, talking about spiritual healing, that's your relationship with God. It starts right out in the Gospel of John. John 1:12. To as many as received him, he gave power to become children of God. That's a relationship. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's healing. And we sometimes don't realize that. It's just, flies by. Nobody brought it to our attention. Maybe Satan was busy distracting us. So there's spiritual healing. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's spiritual healing. For we are saved in virtue of being baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is backed up by Titus 3:5. You have been born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we see that we have the grounds, we have the seeds for our relationship that gives healing. But there is also physical healing. Now, I got to watch the clock because I have too much to say, and Jesus has done too much in my life to know what to do. It's just like time is being constipated for me. But I'll try to finish on time, and then we can discuss, and you can ask questions afterwards, so that we don't miss out. I like to honor the time. For physical healing, I think of Karen Hawkinson. Back in 1978, after a worship service in Proctor at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church, she noticed blood on her leg. She went to the doctor, and it was malignant melanoma. And they told her she had 6 months to 18 months to live. Can you imagine the emotions when you hear that? And I said to Karen and Gary, her husband, let us call the deacons of their church and do practice what it says in James chapter 5. And James chapter 5 says, if anyone is ill, I'm not sure if we got that. He called the elders of the church. They should confess their sins, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick person. So, the deacons were welcome. I asked Gary, and he said, yes. And I asked the deacons to go with me, and we went to their home in Proctor and read James chapter 5. We paused to silently confess our sins. When we had all confessed our sins, we said out loud, so we all knew we had entered into this experience of confession, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And then we prayed the Lord's Prayer. And then we anointed her with oil on her forehead to remind her that she became God's child in holy baptism. We anointed her with in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we prayed that Jesus would heal her, strengthen her immune system. There was no earthquake, no fireworks, no thunder or lightning. But Karen is still alive today. You can count the years from 1978 to today. Her husband is a deacon at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. And Karen is a witness. The same night, there was another family. They had a girl, 11 years old, named Jody. She was allergic. She had severe allergies to wheat products, fresh-cut green grass, and animal hair. And I asked the parents, Dennis and Julie Engen, if they would like to have the deacons come there after we'd been at Hawkinson's. And they agreed. And so we anointed Jody, 11-year-old girl. You can imagine having lunch after church, after worship, and seeing all the cookies and donuts and not being able to eat anything because of the wheat. One day her breathing became restricted, and they rushed her down to the emergency room, and mother looked at the can the food to see what it was. And here was there was starch that we used to strengthen or thicken the sauce in the peas that they ate. And that's what clicked it off. Well, we prayed for Jody that evening, and she was healed. They even had a French poodle in their house. I'm coming over the sofa and every place else. And she's married and had a set of twins and happily married in the living in Twin Cities. Complete, and there was no fireworks. It just happened. In response to our faith, we just followed Scripture. You know, when we follow Scripture, things happen. Miracles take place. So I just want us to know that there are, there is physical healing. There was a 15-year-old girl from Erskine, Minnesota, Christine. We had a youth meeting at the church, Luther League, and asked, and she came to me and says, "Pastor, do you have any aspirin in the church?" And she said, "I've got a headache." And I said, "Well, I have aspirin at the parsonage next door." So I ran next door and brought back aspirin for Christine. And she popped it in her mouth, and we were standing by the drinking fountain, and she drank. And I said, "Christine, could I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." And so I said, "I'll just put my hand by your neck, and I'll pray that God will help alleviate the discomfort." And so I prayed that God would take away the discomfort, help the blood to flow freely through the brain without restriction, and that she would have just find relief and comfort in knowing His presence for healing. And we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Thank for forgiveness. One thing I've learned is, like in James chapter 5, it says the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its effect. So I have always tried to incorporate, that's made of a rule. If I'm going to pray for healing, I'm going to pray for forgiveness too. Because the forgiveness is the main thing. If we have salvation, or get physical healing, but still don't have salvation, then we haven't gained much, have we? So I prayed. Now you notice I didn't use the word pain. I learned from Pastor Voswig, who's written the book I Prayed, He Answered, who's taught me a lot how to pray for the sick, not to use the word pain, because that impresses upon the deep subconscious that you've got to have pain. So he says, I use the word discomfort. And I asked the Lord to take away Christine's discomfort. Then I asked Christine, I said, "Would you please tell me when God has answered this prayer?" And she stopped and paused. "It's gone already." I don't know if the aspirin had even hit bottom. But I have found out that when I pray for somebody, it helps me when I ask them to tell me how God answers my prayer for their healing, because it invokes an expectation and looking forward in faith to expect something to happen. So those are some of my experiences with physical healing. Then there's healing of memories. I tried to make it a rule when I was pastor to visit the widows on what would be the anniversary of their wedding. I thought that might be a tough day for widows. And so I went to visit one lady, and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad my husband died." I'd never heard that before. But he abused her. She told me the first paycheck that he got after they were married, he was gone for 2 weeks. She had no idea where he was. Can you imagine a new wife wondering where her husband is for 2 weeks? No word at all. And the father-in-law was taken into the home and tried to rape her. She had nightmares at night. So I prayed with her. I tried to remember what be a good listener. And in my imagination, I visualized Jesus walking up the stairs with her upstairs to the bedroom, and that he was with her. And when she was experiencing the hurt, the hitting, or whatever it was, that Jesus would put his hand on her shoulder and say, "I'm here. I understand. I'm with you. I love you. I died for you." Well, 6 months later, I was at a funeral at Bell Brothers, and here was this lady. And she came up to me and said, "Pastor, Pastor," she said, "I haven't had a nightmare in the 6 months since you prayed for me." There's some of us that need a healing of memories. Something, some hurts. I think this is maybe part of PTSD that the servicemen deal with. I'm not that well acquainted with it, but I would like to walk through them with them in their memories for healing. There can be a lot of memories that are not. And then there's healing of relationships. In the Orthodox Church, when they celebrate Holy Communion, they have the husbands and wives face each other, take their hands and say, "Forgive me. I love you." It's a part of the personal confession and preparation for Holy Communion. So that as they approach Holy Communion, anything that has come between them, any hurt, is forgiven and dropped and not mentioned again, and say, "I love you." And I think of that happening at the communion rail. I attend a church in Livonia where my daughter is, where I have been for 6 months. And there are 260 people living, worshiping at the 8:30 service and 260 in the afternoon, or in the 11 o'clock service. My, the way they facilitate them. And it hardly takes an hour for them to do the whole worship, including sermon and communing all the people. And I think as I look at that communion rail, and children, people, and I just pray, as I have done here, for those that are here, for the mothers and fathers and the children, for those with special needs, that God would really meet their needs and assure them of their forgiveness. You know, in Isaiah it says, "He will forgive all our iniquities and heal all our diseases." And it says in 43:11, I think it is, if I remember right, that he will remember our sins no more. Isn't that wonderful? God can forget. That's one thing he can do that we can't do. We always seem to remember. But God will take care of that. Well, for the healing of the relationships, I want you to think and maybe memorize this verse in 1 Peter 3:9. "Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain an inheritance." I try to remember the last part of that verse. bless, for to this you were called. Pastor Arnie Jessen, one time a pastor at St. Luke's, was doing a CPE course, clinical pastoral education course for pastors, and he said, have you noticed how some people are blessers? They're in their presence, and they say something, and your spirit goes, woo! You leave church. The sermon may have been terrible. You may not remember a thing, but you feel good. You've been blessed just in the presence of others who are in the presence of Jesus, or Almighty God. And I have heard a lot of sermons that I don't remember, but I do remember being blessed. There was one grandpa, and I'd like to see one grandpa here volunteer to follow through, who had his pocket full of mints. And all of the children knew that Ole had mints in his pocket. And after worship, they'd go up and shake Ole's hand, and he always had one of these mints. Sometimes it was more lint than mint, but there were mints. And that didn't make any difference to the children. They stood in line to go and shake Ole's hand. That was the high point of worship. One of those boys became a pastor, and he said, the reason I'm a pastor is because Ole and his mint. I look forward to going to church. He said, I don't remember any sermons, but I remember Ole. And that brought him into a relationship with Jesus. So, be a blesser. For this you were called. Now, my time is... I'll just say I've had three experiences with demon possession. I'll tell one. The pastor, by the way, who I followed in Hong Kong, Pastor Arthur Olson, had dealings with 67 demon-possessed people on the mainland. He said they like to have a place to live. And if they can live in a person and control them, they like that. And so I got a call at 10 o'clock one night in Montana when I was serving the church there. And I'll call her Grace, said, Pastor, the housekeeper here sees the spook behind me with her hands by my neck. And I'm afraid. Can you come? And so I called some praying deacons that I knew, asked them to be with me. I went out to the country. It was muddy. They met me at the main road with a four-wheel drive and took me to the home. And then they told about they'd come home sometimes from groceries and they hear sounds like somebody was talking in the house. And she didn't know that these were really demons. She called them spooks. So we sat down at the table after they told some of the events, and I said, we will pray and ask Jesus to forgive us for all the sins that the Holy Spirit points out in our life. We were sitting there for quite a while because there was one that didn't say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And I was ready to start in. But I thought, well, finally she said, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Imagine the angels rejoicing in heaven of her repentance. And then I went through every room in the house, declaring Jesus was Lord in his presence from the top of the ceiling to the bottom. I felt a little embarrassed going into the bathroom and claiming that for the Lord. But I went through the whole house, and I went through the basement because they had heard sounds in the basement. And then I had the sense, Joshua, the thought came to me, Joshua walked around Jericho 7 times. and the walls came tumbling down. And I thought, I'm going to look kind of foolish if I walk around this yard here 7 times. And then I thought, God put what I remembered of a man in New York. Walking down the main street, he had a sandwich sign. On the front it said, I am a fool for Jesus Christ. And on the back of the sign said, whose fool are you? And I thought, oh, Jesus, I'll be a fool for you. And so I told him I was going to walk around. There was a fence around the yard, and there was a tree right by one place. And I knew that the demons would like to possess sometimes trees, so I claimed that for the Lord. And found out later on, or I was told that it had been a burial ground, Indian Native American burial ground in that area. And this is often the case. There's a place on Lawn Street in Proctor and in Rolling Greens where children saw spooks sitting at the end of their bed. We prayed and asked Jesus to fill the house. Just then, Delbert, the brother, came home from work, and he said he would drive me in his four-wheel drive back to my car. And I said, what are you here for? And I said, well, Grace is bothered by spooks. He said, yeah, there are at least 3 of them. He says, when I pretend I'm sleeping down in the basement, when I'm watching TV, I can hear 3 different voices. Well, it was maybe 2 weeks. Was it 2 months? I don't remember exactly. I got a call from Grace and said that they had no more problems with the demons, or spooks, as she called them. They had a little baby that could not digest its formula. It wouldn't digest the mother's milk. They tried different formulas, and the baby would just spit it up. You know what that is like, to see sour milk on your shoulders if you've ever had a baby like that. He told me that since that night that her baby had no problem with digesting the food and that everything was fine. Pastor at Two Harbors, Pastor John Reppy, had a family, had a baby that was born with a heart defect. And the doctor had arranged for heart surgery on this infant on Monday. And the family said, can we take our baby to church and have it baptized on Sunday? And the pastor or the doctor said, yes, but here's my telephone. If anything happens, you call me and I will meet you at the emergency room. So when Pastor Reppy baptized this little child at Bethlehem Lutheran in Two Harbors, he also prayed for healing. On Monday morning, when the doctor did a pre-op examination, he said, I don't see any problem. There's no problem. The baby's heart is okay. No need to go through with heart surgery. So I know I can't explain all these things. I just know that God works. Now that's why I belong, one of the reasons I belong to the Order of St. Luke. It has been an encouragement for me as we share experiences of prayers answered. It has made me a better pastor, or a better Christian, one who, when somebody tells me they have a headache, or like One father said, "My son didn't come to church today because he wasn't feeling well." I took the father's hands in mine and I blessed him, that he would go home and bless his son and bring healing to his son. And his son was in church the next Sunday. You are especially called, each one of you, as a believer, to not only claim the forgiveness and say, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus," but to share the good news of forgiveness, spiritual healing, healing of memories, healing of relationships. I got a call last night. Somebody and his brother were ready to punch each other. And he said, "What shall I do?" And I said, "Bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." Well, can we pray and ask the Lord to anoint us with the sense of his indwelling presence? Remember, we had this verse, "You are a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." As you receive Holy Communion today, remember the words of Jesus, "Given and shed for you for the remission of sins." The closing hymn that we sing will be, "Jesus, mighty God, to thee my heartfelt thanks forever be, who has so lovingly bestowed on me thy body and thy blood. Break forth, O Lord, to my heart this day. Thank you, Savior, for dwelling in me. How great thou art. How blessed I am. How great thou art." Father, every single one here today is precious in your sight. Just 19 or 22 days after they were conceived, their hearts started beating by your power. You chose them even before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1:4, that they should be before you holy and blameless. Oh, Lord, to think that we were in your mind even before the creation of the world. My, you have big plans for each one of us. Help us, Lord, forgive us for thinking too small, being distracted. Fill us with your Spirit. You have promised, Lord, that if we ask for the Holy Spirit, you will give it, and I ask that you would fill each one of us today. Thank you for the children that are here because of the possibilities. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a children's sermon with a rope. And I don't know, the children aren't around here. But in China, there was a blind man who was taken to the Presbyterian Hospital, or to Lutheran Hospital, I guess it was, because it was Pastor Skinsness, who was the pastor, or the medical doctor, missionary doctor, and he did surgery on this blind man. And he was able to see. He could see the color of the leaves and why they rustled. He could see the children, the dogs, hear the sounds. Oh, his life was changed. 2 weeks later, he came back to the hospital pulling a rope. And on the rope were 23 other blind people. He wanted them to also see the light. It was my purpose to give every child a piece of rope to remind them that there are children who need to be brought to the healing presence of Jesus to see the light. But you have neighbors, and I have neighbors. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. But we'll pray this together again. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you.